What Was God Thinking? By John Henry Allen. Chapter 1. God's Desire for Relationship. Read by Bob Clarkson. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light, which lights every man that cometh into the world. He, the light, was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God declared clearly and unequivocally both His instrument of creation, through and in Jesus Christ, and His purpose for creation, to have other beings capable of relationship, living in relationship with God. Is it really any wonder why God would love humans? He made them for that expressed purpose. Is it not logical that if we have children in order to love them and be in relationship with them, that God would do the same with us and with a much greater capacity of love? How is it, then, that mankind at large is so estranged from the Father of all? I submit that as humans we have become apathetic toward God, as our beliefs about God have become obscured by a mundane commonness in the way we approach and feel about Him. The distinguishing difference between a person of great faith and all others lies in the quality of their concepts of God. Until one firmly believes that God is always there, is always first in their lives, and is never relenting in His love for them, regardless of their love for Him, their faith is incomplete. Where imagination touches the pre-creation void, God is there. A.W. Tozer. God is the perfect Father, and as such, loves His children without conditions or regards for their feelings for Him. Without faith in God's relational perfection, a person cannot develop intimacy with God. Is it not possible that the inadequacy of our experience of God might be traced back to our childish skipping around in the Bible or our churches like distracted children, or doting on nearly anything else but God? Could it be that we have never taken time to assess the true value of relationship? Could it be that what we want is a simple and painless way to discover the fullness and beauty of God, when in fact the fullness and beauty of any relationship cannot be known until it is tested greatly through adversity and struggle? In reality, there are no shortcuts or formulas for developing a deeply passionate relationship with anyone, let alone God. The man who would know God, or any other human being for that matter, must give time to Him, or the human. No time is ever wasted in the cultivation of a relationship with God. Time spent in meditation and prayer is that very thing which fosters a deepening relationship with God. Yet because we have used these two practices as purely religious activities, we have practiced a very low quality of them both. Meditation about God is exactly the same thing as our constant thinking about and desiring to be with our significant others. Prayer is a constant awareness, whether present or absent, of those from whom we don't want to be separated. Meditation, having become a lost art among modern Christians, need not be done in solitude alone or in silence alone. This focused contemplation of the divine can be in solitude or in the din of life's busiest moments. The latter comes with greater difficulty and more practice than the former. But prayer without ceasing, as exhorted in Scripture, can only be achieved if it continues in the midst of our busy moments. Yet, it is interesting to notice that we can often think about or call a significant other human in the busiest moments to get some sense of peace in the middle of the messiness. In the present moment in relationship. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared God. John, seeing Jesus coming toward him, said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. John saw and bore record that this Jesus is the Son of God. For most believers, the present moment is wasted by either reliving or actually regretting the past, or worrying about the future and how we might continue to disappoint God, as we are so prone to wander again and again into our self-indulgent sinful behaviors. Rather than wasting the present moment on miscellaneous rumblings on baptism or other religious notions, or regretting our past or fretting about our future, God would prefer that we seize each moment with his affection. In Latin, this would be expressed as carpe momentum cum affectione. It would be awesome to learn the habit of living in each moment in contemplation of God with an affectionate pleasure in him. Leaving God out of our awareness in the present moment is a form of short-term or temporary atheism. No matter how often or loudly we speak about God, he remains largely absent from us. Loneliness results from being absent in the present moment of any other, especially the absence of God. We don't have to be physically present with someone in love in order not to be lonely. We need only consciously dwell on an awareness of their affections for us. The best news is that in relationship with God, our awareness of his presence not only dispels loneliness, but also fear. Perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18. The essence of true faith, in a sense of the ever-present God, not only with us, but involving himself in the details of our lives. He wants to share every event with us. He wants us to release our control over these events and let him handle them. Although we often fail to sense the presence of God, since he rarely, if ever, in our experience, speaks audibly to us, his presence can be sensed as strongly as our spiritual sense of our loved ones, regardless of their proximity or distance from us. Relationship is only, ever, and always a matter of the heart. Our physical expressions of affection are simply an outburst of our strong feeling of affection for any being, God, others, or even ourselves. Physical expressions of affection for God are entirely unnecessary, but may take the form of words or actions. In the spiritual realm, we can express to God, the Supreme Spirit, by way of thoughts or emotions in the mind or soul. Our affection is also expressed by the choices we make. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. It is important that our communication with God is honest, and when we have a best friend, we can tell them anything and they will not violate our confidence nor leave us alone after hearing dark things about us. The really good news about God is that when we make him our best friend, as deeply spiritual persons, we can hear God's voice clearly enough to know what he desires of us in the moment. And spiritually mature people do not divulge such secrets indiscriminately ever. At the bottom of spiritual awareness is a sense of something there or someone there. It was this sense of the divine being present in the now that motivated and moved early Christians with abiding wonder to do the bidding of this inner being. The solemn delight which those early disciples knew sprang from the conviction that there was one in the midst of them. They knew that the majesty in the heavens was confronting them on earth. They were in the very presence of God, and the power of that conviction to arrest attention and hold it for a lifetime, to elevate, to transform, to fill with uncontrollable moral happiness, to send men singing to prison and death, has been one of the wonders of history and the marvel of the world. A.W. Tozer wrote that piece. The living nature of relationship. To seek the living God in books and writings is to seek the living among the dead. A.W. Tozer. The living God reveals himself to us in a personal touch and our sensing his absolute affection for us. The rhema, revelation, words of God enable us to live in the intimacy of personal communion with him. It is a revelation, not information, that leads to intimacy. Real faith is never the operation of reason upon texts. Again, a quote by A.W. Tozer. To approach God in this way would be like spending one's honeymoon reading books about the spouse or about their gender while never experiencing physical or emotional intimacy with them. We have substituted theological ideas for an arresting encounter. Again, A.W. Tozer. The progression from terror of the sheer majesty of the Almighty God to a delightful awe and worship, and then morphing into a resonance of complete nearness to God, is the pathway to spiritual and relational maturity with God. Essentially, a truly great person of faith must experience God as a presence of one who is actually there. God does not give a part of himself to each of us. He gives all of himself to us simultaneously. We too can give all of ourself to each and every one we choose to love. There are no favorites when you give yourself wholly to each and every one you love. It is not about how much time you spend physically in another's presence. It is how deeply you love them in spirit. God does not want to kill our passionate desires. He does want us to share them with him. He does not want us to live in the bondage of addiction to physical intimacies, but still to enjoy them. The love of God and for God is actually the cure for sensual addictions and all other addictions as well. Human addictive behavior is common to every man, woman, and child. All of us want to be loved and feel secure. And it is when we feel threatened or alone that we find some addictive behavior to distract us from our fear of rejection or sense of abandonment. The best news about a living relationship with God, wherein we feel him to be as real as any other human has ever been or will be to us, is that being best friends with the most awesome lover in the universe fosters a sense of love, acceptance, worth, and security greater than any purely human relationship. Developing a living intimacy with God breaks the cycles of addiction, brings peace to even the most traumatized or in the most traumatic circumstances, and guarantees the best possible outcomes for our lives. Once I have heard God and observed God, why would I have any further interest in religious trappings or the worship of traditions or making an idol of the Bible or any other spiritual writing? You cannot love any being, human or divine, who is simply a deduction from a written description. Once having experienced God, one can no longer be satisfied with logic or information about him. Living in the intimacy of personal communion with God is the very design of his creation. We crave intimacy with human beings. We crave intimacy with the divine being. Absolutely nothing can take the place of a sense of the touch of God.